Are these extraordinary men? Extraordinary athletes, yes. But like you and I, life hands them the same lessons in pain, loss, and triumph. The game provides a window into the human spirit, and it's that spirit that connects us all. Every day is a new opportunity for success, just waiting to be written.
This is what I believe to be true. You have to do everything you can. You have to work your hardest. If you stay positive, you have a shot at a silver lining.
Welcome to another edition of Eagles Unscripted. I'm Scott Graham, and we have something very different for you. In fact, we have an Eagles Unscripted first here. A non-Eagle sitting in the guest chair, but a big-time Eagle fan. You're probably going to recognize him more for the work that he does off of Eagles Unscripted. Understandable, of course. Bradley Cooper is with us.
Hey, thanks. Pleasure to be here.
It's great to have you.
Yeah.
You are, you're making the rounds, certainly.
Yeah.
Over the course of this week for the new film. We're going to talk about the film. But that gets you an opportunity to come here.
Yeah.
Be around the team, be around practice. How big a thrill is that for somebody who grew up an Eagles fan?
It kind of doesn't get any better. You know, and it's funny because people keep apologizing for me being here. It's like, you must be busy. I could literally stay here for a week. And I got the chance to meet Celek and McCoy and Deshaun Jackson and Andy Reid. I'm real thrilled to meet Andy Reid. Well, he's an impressive individual.
With you since childhood? The Eagles thing?
Andy Reid? Well, he's 14 years old, 37. Huge. Oh, yeah, big time, yeah. I came into this world as Ron Jaworski. When did he finish? I was born in 75,
okay.
So my memories, you know, started with Jaworski. And then, you know, all through Randall Cunningham and McNabb, and then, you know, the few people in between, and then, you know, Michael Vick and, yeah, Rich Kotite and Buddy Ryan. And
So some things don't have to be remembered. We made it. first game at the Vet?
My family was much more about watching it at home. You know, my father came from a very old school where you wore suits to sporting events.
Wow.
Yeah, so that made for an interesting situation when you're bringing your two young children, one of which looks like a girl, with a bow tie to Vet Stadium. You know, you got drunk guys spilling beer on to your children. You know, my father had his hands full. So we were relegated to Philly games, which were a little tamer than Eagles games.
Little.
Back then, at least. And Sixers. I went to a lot of Sixer games.
Take me back to your Eagles fandom. What are the moments that stand out more than any other? Specifically for you as a fan.
Yeah, I mean, well, 4th and 26 to Mitchell is huge. I remember I was in an airport, and I was frantically trying to get them to change the station on the one TV to put on for the game. And then, of course, there was no sound. And then I don't know how I managed to talk them into putting the volume up. And I was just, yeah, so that was incredible. You know, the Fog Bowl was one of the surrealist things I've ever experienced. I wonder what it would have been like to be there, because certainly the camera picked nothing up. And that punt, I still remember that punt.
That was one of the most exciting periods in
really
Eagles
was.
History.
He came to our high school, Randall Cunningham.
He was a rock star.
Oh, he was a rock star. And he had his own morning show and everything. Yeah, yeah.
And that team, amazingly enough, that team put together by Buddy Ryan, taken over by Rich Kotite, they won one playoff game they won?
It's nuts.
It's amazing, yeah. Though, considering...
That arm, remember that arm he had? It was,
yeah,
like elastic band.
It was thrilling stuff to watch.
Yeah.
There was so much talent there, and history, you'll think, well, they did fairly well.
Yeah,
they just didn't win the Super Bowl.
They never did.
Didn't.
Yeah. No, I know.
The fact that Eagles football is such a big part of this film and this script, was that an appeal to you in getting involved with this project?
Well, initially the appeal is David O. Russell, who's an incredible director, incredible. And then it's based on a book by Matthew Quick. And I the role I play, this guy, Pat Solitano, I've never really been given a chance to play a role like this. And it sort of demands a lot of dexterity emotionally. And I was very apprehensive. So you look for any anchor you can to make it real for yourself, so you don't act, so you actually do it. And so being from Philly and growing up with Eagles in my blood, and, you know, remembering the Fog Bowl, remembering 4th and 26, McNabb to Mitchell over center, remembering Randall Cunningham kicking the 99-yard punt from end zone to end zone, you know, all those things, you know, are in me. So that was that's an anchor. You know, being Italian-Irish is an anchor, like a character. And so yeah, the Eagles. And also, I personally love the fact that I can wear a jersey for half the movie. So for 15 out of the 33 days, I had a, you know, number 10.
Would you say that, I mean, from what you're saying there, it sounds to me like this is a role that puts you to as much of a test as an actor as you've had so far?
On film, no question about it. Yeah, I'd never been asked to do something like that, let alone play the character that the demand is. He's the foil for which you meet the other characters, and he's your guide for the audience through the for the whole story. I play a guy who, when you meet him, he's released from a mental institution after being there as a plea bargain because he beat the hell out of a guy who was sleeping with his wife that he caught them having sex. And in order to not serve time, he pled insanity. But when he was in the hospital, he was diagnosed as bipolar. And so you realize he's been white-knuckling it his whole life. And then he comes home and he doesn't want to take meds. And, you know, you're dealing with a guy who is, you know, has these things going on.
So, Pat, what's this I hear about you just getting out?
From the loony bin! I thought you said you had it together. You were solid.
I am solid. I was solid at the game.
Fine balance between some things that are humorous and some things that aren't.
As in life, yeah. I mean, it wasn't that we sought out to make it comedic, but we didn't shy away from it either. But, you know, what we sought out was to make an authentic movie about a family in this street, in this town, in 2008. The one thing that's really cool is we didn't veer away from the season. I mean, the season that's documented in the movie is the actual season that the Eagles had that year.
Wow, really?
Yeah, yeah. So being who you are, you'll appreciate that.
Yeah, I'd enjoy that. Obviously, an opportunity for those of us out there who've never had a chance to do so, the opportunity to work with Robert De Niro has to be something pretty special.
And he really captured the Eagles fan mentality. He plays Pat Sr., Pat's father, and he's an obsessive compulsive, almost disorder character. And that revolves very heavily around his superstition while watching Eagles games. He has a handkerchief. He has three remotes that he keeps turning. He thinks his son's good luck and has to sit a certain way with reading the paper. so that was a lot of fun.
Now, he learned his Philly from your uncle?
Yeah. So he said to me about 5 days before we started shooting, he said, you know, is there anybody you know that's my age who would mind saying the lines? I thought, oh, that's insane. So, well, let me make a phone call. So I called my Uncle Ernie, who lives in Jersey now, is since retired, and I said, I know this is crazy. Would you mind coming to the Four Seasons Hotel at 5 o'clock and read Robert De Niro's lines in front of him so he can listen to it and record it? And my uncle went, what? Yeah, okay.
Because he has to.
And he goes, do you want me to pick anything up? So he shows up, and we do it, and I just couldn't stop laughing. It was just incredible. And then we had dinner afterwards, and then, you know, I mean, typical, like, you know, Philadelphia. It was like, yeah, nothing. Is that, you need anything else? All right, I'll see you.
Yeah.
Give my love to my sister.
Yeah, okay. He gets that request every day. It happens all the time.
All right.
When we continue, what's the one honor Bradley Cooper would have preferred not to have? Oh, come on, really?
Oh, bro.
Really?
Yes.
Enough
it was
already?
Brutal. It was brutal. Oh, my God.
Eagles Unscripted is brought to you by Sports Authority, all things sporting good, and by NovaCare Rehabilitation, the power of physical therapy. Being a Philadelphia sports fan, it's fun to be around here when things are going well. When they're not going well, this is a tough place to play.
Well, we just have such an emotion. We're a city like Boston or Pittsburgh, or you know, where we really do care about our team, you know. And look, I live when I'm away. You know, we're shooting The Hangover 3, and I watch it on my iPad because we're working Sundays, and it kills me. And you know, it's an emotional attachment. Don't talk to me after the game, really, if we lose. It's or be kind. And, you know, people who don't understand it are very cavalier with making jokes. It's almost embarrassing how I react to it. But I really, I don't like that at all.
And you managed to tell them that with that smile or without that smile?
Well, the smile is kind of a weird, psychotic smile.
That's hand-in-hand with being a Philadelphia fan.
That's right. Although I did the live with Kelly, and I was talking to Michael Strahan, and he was talking about how when he would come to Philly, you know, batteries and spit thrown at him, and I just was like, yeah, good.
To the same point, Philly is, it's something that you kind of take with you. I mean, you still have very much of this area in you, regardless of where you are, don't you?
Absolutely, yeah. And to be able to access that for a role is invaluable. It's invaluable. I love the fact that I got to shoot this movie here. And David O. Russell wanted to embrace that as much as he could. He wasn't aware of how much of a native I was when I was cast. He knew that I was from Philly, but then he realized, oh my God, this guy's kind of a gold mine of information, in terms of the mother. And there was a moment where De Niro wanted my mother to play my mother in the movie. We were going to screen test her, and then my cousin auditioned to play Ronnie, the best friend. Yeah, it was funny.
Pat, you owe us an apology.
Mom, I can't apologize. I'm not going to apologize for this. You know what I will do? I will apologize on behalf of Ernest Hemingway, because that's who's to blame here.
Yeah, have Ernest Hemingway call us and apologize to us, too.
The life that you lead,
yeah,
it seems like you love it. It seems it seems like you love what you do,
mm-hmm.
and you embrace what it is that you do. Take me into this just a little, because people do different things for a living, probably can't imagine what your life is really like.
Well, that might be a lot about, but I think that's normal. I do that certainly when I think about somebody who I assume who has a different life than I have. Like, for example, when I met Robert De Niro, I assumed, I don't know what I assumed other than I thought that he lived some sort of, alternative universe life. The guy is a completely normal individual. Same thing coming here today. I'm sort of sitting there and I'm seeing McCoy and Selleck, and I'm like looking, and they're actually human beings, and they're actually kids. Do you know they're kids?
Yep.
I always think I'm younger than any professional athlete.
Not anymore.
But you always just think that because they look like giants, everything just becomes real. The only thing that's different is that sometimes you get recognized, and that's an odd thing to get used to. That people have, but that's even changing because of social media. Everybody knows everybody.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Sure.
So. That whole idea of celebrity is changing dramatically.
Of course, when they stick your face in the front of People magazine and they call you the sexiest man.
Yeah, that's maron.
The reign is over now, by the way. Do you? No, come on, really?
Oh, bro.
Really?
Yes.
Enough already?
It was brutal. Oh, my God. Yeah.
A couple people brought it up.
Well, it was just so, the truth is so unfounded, you know what I mean? Now we're back to, now this makes sense, Channing Tatum. Yes, that guy's, but you know what I loved about it, I gotta say? The one thing I did love, I was like, oh, I can see a lot of guys at home being like, well, if he's the sexiest guy, I got it made, you know what I mean? Now they're back to like, yeah, that guy is the sexiest man alive, so.
When we continue on Eagles Unscripted, native Philadelphian Bradley Cooper will have the definitive answer. Is it sauce or is it gravy?
By the way, no one else knows what the hell we're talking about.
I guess.
So is this the girl you wrote about?
Yeah.
What? You wrote about me? I'm the girl?
He wrote about you, all right.
What did he say?
He said you guys was helping each other out, and you were nice, and you had a mouth on you, but...
Whoa, okay.
You're a little mouthy, but...
No, please, tell me more about what he said in the letter.
Yeah, anything you want to know, I'll just tell you in the letter. It was nothing about it. It was just a very general letter.
Cool.
She's fine.
She is my friend with an F.
A capital F.
For friend. Or one of the other actors in the movie who's incredible is this woman, Jennifer Lawrence, who just is kind of a revelation. And this girl, 21-year-old girl, now 22, was 20 when we shot it, had the gravitas to play this Tiffany Maxwell character, a woman who was married to a cop who died. And in order to deal with her depression, she started to sleep with everybody in her office. There's a lot to play there, and Jennifer just absolutely destroyed it. And to play indigenous to Philly, it was easier for me because I'm from there. She's from Kentucky, and she mastered it. And just shooting in Philly helped. We shot in a real house. Very little stage work at all in this movie. Everything was on location. David O. Russell used to have food cooking in the kitchen of the house so we could smell the gravy all day long.
Really?
Which is very cool.
Which, by the way, it is gravy.
In my household, it was gravy.
My household, it was gravy,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In fact, I get a little annoyed with when people say sauce.
No one else knows what the hell we're talking about.
I guess.
In California, they're like gravy.
No, in California, they don't, but in Philly,
even
good.
In Italy, some parts of Italy. I don't know if it's Abruzzi in Naples. Yeah. I think it's gravy there, maybe, yeah. But if you go to, Rome, I don't think it's gravy.
No, it's sauce.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which, that doesn't fly at all.
I've never had sauce.
No, me neither.
Yeah.
We have only one scripted portion of this show.
Okay.
And we have our list of 25 questions. You call out a number from 1 to 25. I ask you the question, whatever it's about.
8.
8. The best acting advice you ever received?
I've received a lot of great advice. I'd say what just popped in my head was Alan Alda came to our school. I went to grad school at the Actors Studio, and he said that, what is it to listen? Because you always hear that, what does it mean to just listen? And he said, listening is allowing whoever you're acting with next line, whoever you're acting with, what they're saying, to change the scripted line you're about to say to them. That's so, meaning that you know what your next line is. It's all about pretending that you don't know what your next line is. It's to tricking your brain that whatever they're going to tell you may change what you're going to say back. I thought that was an interesting way to process what it is to listen.
That wouldn't be bad for an interview either. I got to keep that in mind.
Isn't that cool? That's cool thing. Yeah.
Were you actually on Inside the Actor Studio asking Sean Penn a question?
Well, that was part of the school, was right. that was our seminar. Yeah, I asked him a question, and I asked De Niro a question.
You asked De Niro a question?
I did, yeah.
Got to roll back and see that sometime.
It's crazy, yeah. And we just went back, and then I went back and did the show a couple years ago, and then we just went back for the 250th anniversary, and Bob and I went back on stage and talked to the
really?
Students, and they played that clip, which was so, talk about surreal. Yeah.
All right, another?
Hey, let's go with one.
Let's go with one. If you were a superhero, what would your special power be?
I like the ones with the partner. You know, what was that, you know, when they could do anything? Wonder Twins. It'd be nice
really?
To have a partner, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean...
They could do anything.
But it's really convenient if you're separated. You know, if you're not separated, if you're not together, you can't get anything done, right?
Yeah, so you need each other. I like that.
All the time?
Well, you're not alone.
24 hours a day?
Well, maybe you bring up a good point.
It's a long time.
Let's think of somebody else.
All right.
I grew up loving Spider-Man. That
Perfect.
Was pretty cool.
Perfect.
I like that.
And
thing.
You can be a loner if you want to be.
Yeah.
Okay.
And maybe you have the ring, too, to do the Wonder Twins. You could do a little bit of both.
I like that.
There we go.
You know, you're the superhero.
There
do what
go.
You want. All right.
Number seven.
Number seven. Oh, this is interesting.
Oh.
Who would play you in a movie about your life?
I'm glad you brought that up. Is this awkward? I would like you to.
Thank you.
Okay. 22.
Jeffrey Lurie signs you to a contract. What position do you want to play?
Oh, God. I would love to be a quarterback.
Of course.
Yeah.
You know how hard it is to be the quarterback in this town,
yes,
right?
Yes, you basically have to be like an open-heart surgeon.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. All right, give me one more.
But this is a fantasy world you're talking about, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
otherwise,
yeah.
I'd be killed the first day of practice.
I mean, you were Spider-Man a minute ago, so why not be the Eagles quarterback, too?
Right. Spider-Man with the ring.
With the ring.
Three.
Funniest comedic actor you've ever worked with?
Oh, worked with. I was about to say Richard Pryor. I've got to work with geniuses, so I can't answer that other than to give you like a little laundry list if you don't mind.
You can't be ticking people off, right? You can't say one over...
Because it's not true, you know what I mean? But think about it. I got to work with Vince Vaughn,
yep.
Zach Galifianakis,
yep.
Jim Carrey, Christopher Walken, you know, Sandra Bullock. These are all great comedians.
Yeah.
I mean, they're, you know... Even in this movie, Wet Hot American Summer, I got to work with Paul Rudd, who's hilarious, and Chris Maloney's hilarious. I mean, you know, I've been able to work with some great...
De Niro's pretty funny when
and
he wants
De Niro's
to
be. Funny. Yeah, De Niro's funny. Jim Carrey and Vince Vaughn, I have to say, were the two that really blew me away, which is not surprising. But those two really, I mean, I remember thinking like, oh, wow, this is a whole other... And especially Jim Carrey with his physical comedy.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Vince Vaughn with his linguistic dexterity was just mind-blowing. I had never witnessed something like that before. I still remember shooting Wedding Crashers and his riffs that he would go on. It was just, I thought, wait, this guy's a genius. This guy's an absolute, he's like touched. This is like...
When you work with people, I mean, obviously you've accomplished a lot yourself, but when you work with people, do you ever stop and catch yourself realizing that you're watching them work?
I'll tell you exactly what speaks to that. So making this movie with De Niro, and you'll know when you see it, he kills it. And he goes all over the spectrum emotionally. And there's one. And David Thompson was the camera operator. So, you know, I was with him all the time, and we had done Limitless together. And there were many moments where the scene, the take would end, and he and I would just turn to each other and go, you know, just what De Niro just did. Yeah, it was pretty something. Yeah. It's not lost on me how much I've hit the jackpot.
Can't thank you enough for stopping by.
Oh,
best of luck with the film.
Thanks for having me.
Anytime you want to stop by, you got a chair right
oh,
here.
Oh, I appreciate that. And let's kill it the rest of the season. There's still hope.
Are you going to walk me home or what?
You mean me?
Yeah, you. Are you going to walk me home?
You have poor social skills. You have a problem.
I have a problem? Mm-hmm. You say more inappropriate things than appropriate things. You scare people.
Well, I tell the truth. You're mean.